As we are moving from the industrial age into a digital era, we have endless opportunities to reach audiences beyond geographical borders and have a global impact. But are you ready to step into your full potential and break free from old hidden patterns and subconscious limitations? Do you want to step into your full alignment with wealth and success? Stay tuned. Welcome to the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and this is your mindset and marketing podcast to help you build a business next to your 9-to-5 without burning out. And most importantly, enjoying your business journey while you are making money and impact. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to build a business of your dreams is already within you. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and today I invited Kyla Birch. Kyla is an expansion coach for high achievers, helping you to rewire your subconscious to create limitless wealth and success. Welcome, Kyla.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
We haven't had a conversation on this show about wealth and success yet. That's why I'm super stoked to share these meaningful conversations, because it is not only important, but I do believe that especially women, we are struggling when it comes to being successful, being wealthy, perhaps even more. But let's dive right in. Kyla, how do you define success?
So for me, I think that it's a really interesting way. So for me, I define success by freedom. And freedom is so based on the individual. So for me, it's financial freedom. It's the ability, the freedom to travel. It's the freedom that I've built in my life with my kids. They're in a hybrid school, so they don't go to school full time. So I've homeschooled them their whole lives. We just transitioned into that. It's the freedom to choose. So for me, success is when you have that freedom and you're not trapped in somebody else's paradigm, or you're not living by their standards or their expectations, and you're truly living your life in the way that is authentic to you and freeing to you. That is what I define as success. But each individual has to do that for their own self, which is a whole another thing about what we just don't, we're not taught that. We're not taught how to define success in our own way, because it is more than just wealth. It's more than just our bank account. It's our experience on this earth.
Mm-hmm. Has this always been like this? When did this change for you? Because if I now go back to the 2020s, 2021, when I was about to start my business for the second time, because I drowned my first in my early 20s, and I moved countries. I left my hometown and I went to Greece to escape that place where I was told that entrepreneurship isn't for me, success isn't for me, because mm-hmm. I'm coming from immigrant background, from a working class family, no entrepreneurship in the family. And I'm walking on the boulevard at the place I always wanted to be by the ocean, wearing hat off short jean shorts and pink flip-flops. And I'm walking, and I had a creative break, and I was thinking and putting things together in my brain. And it appeared to me that, but how can you be successful? Like, look at you. You are wearing a tank top, no bra, old jeans, and pink flip-flops. And for the first time, it occurred to me that I have never defined success for myself. How was it for you?
Yeah. So for me, I grew up in a very middle-class family. And so success and entrepreneurship, like, and just in just not just my family, my environment, you know, I'm from a small town in Oklahoma and in the US. And so just my environment was very much the best job you could get was, you know, working for the government and like a state job that you just worked. I mean, it wasn't that much money, but it was secure, mm-hmm. right? So security was success here. That is how people defined success. And if you don't understand how you define it. And so when I really look around, I was like, these people just want to be secure. And so that's how I defined success for a long time. What's secure? Even if it wasn't going to be like the life of my dreams, it was secure. It was still going to be there. I didn't have to worry about it. And so, no, I wasn't always like this. I had to break my own paradigms. And not only did I not have a good idea of what success looked like for, My family, I didn't even think I was capable of success. Like, I was wrapped in this paradigm that I was not smart, I was not capable, that I was really, really like, my whole life story was that I was just so stupid. Like, I avoided big things in my life. I avoided big tests because I didn't want to see how dumb I was on paper, and I didn't want it to confirm. So I acted like I was making these really empowered decisions, but I was making decisions out of lack and fear of being found out of how dumb I was. Like, that's the narrative I operated out of. So I made all of these decisions in my life based off of avoidance of actually having to prove to myself or if other people find out just how stupid I was. And so I did not have a good relationship with success or wealth or money in general. I didn't think I could have it or hold it or that I was worthy of it either. So it was a big learning. It was a big shift for me as I started to evolve and as I started to do the deep inner work and to understand myself and to see these conditioning, the conditioning that I had, that's when things started to shift. I didn't just like grow up in like this wealthy area. I was like, everyone can be wealthy. We can all be successful. We have all these opportunities. I was smashed in a box by my environment and also by myself. And my box was way smaller than anyone else ever put me in.
So for you, success was already something rather internal, and because you didn't have those internal, let's say, tools and skills, and you thought you're silly and not capable. For me, it was really something external. For me, it was if you're successful, you look a certain way, and pink flip-flops are not it. Like then I was in this conflict of being living an island life, like a dream come true, but I started sabotaging my dream come true. I didn't want to be this, the truth, simply because you don't wear high heels and fancy clothes on an island unless you go out for dinner and you go fancy, but it's hot. It's a whole different vibe, and people are there for that type of freedom of not having to dress like office-like, I would say. Very usually comfortable. So for me, success was external. Doesn't matter how you feel inside. It didn't even matter your bank account, as long as you look a certain way. So I needed to do really a lot of work and really dig deep into success and what it is. And at first, I left out money at all. Like, I needed to left out the dollar signs and go for internal success, what it means for me to live a successful life with $0, basically. How would you go about it today if you would like to help someone define success?
Yeah, I think that when you define success for yourself, when we only focus on the external and we don't do what you like you described of like the external was the mirror for you to do that deep inner work, right? You're like, okay, well, if I want that, if I want to embody that version, you can be dressed up in high heels and live in your dream house and do all these things, and you're still crumbling on the inside. And that's not a successful life. And so that's why I always say we're building wealth from the inside out, because it has to go through that filter of the inside. And we don't get success and then we change. We change and then success becomes inevitable. And so that is what we have to really step into, is that when we change our thoughts and our beliefs and our attachment and our view of ourselves, then success is inevitable, and you get to define that success. And ultimately, if you start inside and you start to say, if I feel free, if I'm not captive by anything else, if I'm not doing things just because people tell me I should or they think I should, or I go down all these different paradigms, or I'm only staying in this area because that's what I think I have to do, when you can start to break those patterns and those molds, then you start to make choices that align with that version of you, that millionaire self that it's within you. And you start to align with that over and over and over. And then you start to step into opportunities. And then the wealth comes, because then you're making moves. I call them millionaire moves. And you're making millionaire moves that bring in that success. But you can't do it if you haven't done that work. And the big thing that people forget, if you just jump straight to it, you're not going to be able to hold it. Like you think about really high, like people, like kids that come right out of college and they go to the NBA or like the NFL and like they're in these big sports leagues and they're getting these millions of dollars and they blow it. They can't even hold it. And then as soon as they're done with their career, they have no money because they had no idea how to manage it. They had no idea how to hold the wealth because they probably didn't think that they were capable and actually worthy of it because there was a ton of subconscious beliefs in our running in our background that make us either overspend or underspend. We underspend, we don't take the opportunity to invest in ourselves, and when we overspend, everything that comes our way is gone. So there's so many different ways that is most important for you to decide exactly how you define wealth and success within you, and then you build it from there.
Can you take us a little bit back, Kyla, and explain us where these patterns come from? Except from our obviously family and beliefs, but I think there must be something much deeper than that because it's a huge thing, especially amongst women.
Yeah, absolutely. So it does start though with our family patterns. So that is where it starts because we see it in our life. So it's like when we're born into it and we're born into a certain belief that either there's never enough money, money doesn't grow on trees, right? We have to work so hard. You have to work so hard to get successful. So like we get taught these paradigms, we get taught these beliefs, but then what happens in our life is we reinforce them. Like we reinforce them over and over and over and over because we feel like they're true. Because there's plenty of beliefs that we've been taught in our life, but for some reason they just didn't land and we didn't reinforce them. So they didn't become our truth. They didn't become our habits. But typically with money, it's a very visceral feeling because there's a lot of scarcity and there's a lot of fear around not having money. And things actually do start to collapse in your life if it's not there and it's not present. And so that's why people lean to security because it really is an actual need that we have. Money is a need. It's not a want. We need money. How much of it is different. But basic survival, we have to have it to live on this in this world. And so that's a big piece. So it is taught, right? It's very conditional. And then we reinforce it in our lives. And we do that for safety and security reasons. And so then that's when it becomes a very individualistic. Because you can also watch your family have really terrible spending habits. And instead of you falling into that, you think, I'm going to do the opposite of that. And so then you're not just throwing your money out the door. But then you go to so far to the other extreme that you never actually spend it because your security isn't having a fat bank account. Your security is having more at the end of the month instead of not. And so it doesn't have to be that you take on the habits of your family, but you do see it. It is mirrored back to you. And then you make a choice and a belief, and then you reinforce that over and over and over again. And then it also comes down to our money beliefs aren't just about what we believe about money. It's also what we believe about ourselves. So then kind of going back to my story is I didn't believe I was capable. It had nothing to do with money itself. I didn't believe I was capable of anything. I didn't think I was smart enough. I didn't think I was, able to do anything in life. So then that didn't even get me to the point. I didn't even have to worry about my money beliefs because how was I even going to make the money? Because I didn't feel like I could. So then it's also deeply rooted in how we see ourselves and what we think we're capable of and what we feel like we can hold, and then what our fears are from being exposed or seen or even valued. If we don't value ourselves, we can't expect other people to do the same. So these beliefs, and they get ingrained in our subconscious mind by thought patterns. And then we reinforce that in our reality over and over and over and over again.
So I'm going to touch base shortly on what you said that when we experience patterns in our family and then we observe them. I've seen them quite late when I started making my own money, which I would like to talk about shortly with you, is that I heard over and over again, and I was not aware of that until recently, that no matter how much money there was in our family or not, it doesn't matter. Like the amount was never relevant. There was always, we don't have money. I can't afford it. And I noticed that when my mom started making good money because she changed jobs, she got divorced, she got her life together, like in a very, very cool way, and she started building her house, like a family house, and she started traveling and visiting me abroad. But every time I ask her if she wants to come or meet me in any city abroad to spend a weekend, she would say, "I don't have money." And I just went in and said, like, "Don't you?" Like, really? Because it's such a pattern that we repeat over and over again. And I think what I see with so many entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs, that all goes well. Like, ambitious women are here. They are ready to make impact. They are ready to build their own businesses. But the moment it comes to advertising or promoting their services, and hold on, this is now, even if it's free lead magnets, it starts with, I don't know, I can't. So the money, in terms of a number, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if you charge a high ticket for your services or if you are advertising free lead magnets. There is something else. What is that, Kyla, that is holding us back from being
So what holds us
fully?
back? Yes, is truly our belief. So most people have a deep fear of being absolutely humiliated, right? So whatever that looks like to the individual is very, it's very personal, but people don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to be exposed. And so most people, especially when they're starting out and they're pivoting, and even if they're like incredibly successful in another career and now they're starting something else, they're like, there's no way I could put this out there because people are going to think, who am I to do this? And it's not because other people think, who are you to do this? It's because we have those beliefs in our own mind of, who am I to do this? And so we believe, like, okay, I shouldn't be doing this. I was doing this. I'm not even qualified to do this. And so we rationalize that, and then we look for proof of it in our external world, and then we hold ourselves back. So it has nothing to do with making money and everything to do, once again, with how we view ourselves and what we think we're capable of, and those narratives and those stories that we have that limit us. So we're not exposed. So we're not vulnerable. And so we're not, we don't feel attacked. And so if we put something online and someone doesn't like it, then we're exposed. And then our safety and our security is no longer there. And then what are we left with? But the real big point of this is that if you don't think that you're not, if you feel really solid in who you are and your beliefs, what you're doing, your actions, you feel really confident, you'll put anything out because you could have 10 people say, this is terrible. But you have one person that says, no, I like it. And you like it, and you're like, yeah, we like it. We like it, right? You're not worried about the 10 that don't like it because you're not believing those thoughts anymore. And so, kind of taking a step back of like why this happens is because we limit ourselves for whatever reason, for what, wherever that comes from, whatever conditioning and story we have in the back of our mind. And then we will do anything to validate it in our experience, anything to show us proof that we're not good enough, anything to show us proof that we're not capable or we're not the person for this job. We'll find it every time. On the other side of that, if we believe that we are the person for this job, we will find that proof every time as well. So that's why it has to be that inside job. And that's why wealth can only come after doing this, because if you don't believe that you can do this, it's not going to come. It's why you look around and you see people who are far less skilled, far less qualified, doing far better than you, making way more money than you could maybe even dream of. And you are more qualified and more skilled, but they have more belief in themselves. They are not holding themselves back. So it's that's the piece that we have to change. If we want to fundamentally change our experience in life, we have to start by changing the beliefs and our relationships with our thoughts that we have.
So where do we start?
Yeah, where you just start questioning. My biggest tip for people is question everything. Question why you do things. Why do you spend here? Why don't you spend here? Like, if we're just talking about money, why do I put myself out here, but why do I withhold here? If I want to go post on social media and I feel scared, what am I really scared about? What is it really that I'm scared about? Is it about that someone's going to laugh at me? No, it's not that. Is it actually about maybe you're scared that once you put that out there, people are going to like it? And then that's uncomfortable because that goes against your narrative because you don't actually feel that way about yourself. So that's too uncomfortable to step into. It's
So
too uns and then
it's
yeah,
failure
yes.
and success
Oh
likewise.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. One really massive thing that people don't think about is I see far more often people are more scared of success than they are of failure because we're very comfortable in failure. We fail all the time in our life and we do make it mean things about ourselves, but we're used to it. It's just familiar. We've done it over and over.
And it's easy
Successes
to
are
validate, as you said, and it's
exactly.
something we are used to. And then we would say, like, yeah, if you look for the evidence, you will find it.
Exactly. And it keeps us in these more comfortable spaces because even if I fail on my way up, well, I'm here and I know what it's like here. And it's not so bad. I'm pretty safe. I'm pretty secure. Maybe I would want to be there, but it's not too bad. So our mind is like, no, we'll just stay here. But success, that's unfamiliar. The next level is always unfamiliar. Even if you've already attained success in another area, the next level of where you're at right now, it's unfamiliar because you've never done it before, and that holds us back. And so, until that becomes our familiar, until we start to step into that and we allow that to happen, and we're not afraid of it, most people are afraid of holding success. For me, I would bump up against success all the time. I would get a ton of momentum in my business when I first started. I mean, I would be rolling and rolling, and the money would be coming in, and the clients would be signing up, and people, and then I would always find a very real excuse in my life. Like it wasn't just like I made stuff up, like something in my life would happen. And I'd be like, oh, that's my sign to pull back. And I didn't realize that my pattern was that I still, even though I believed in myself, I still was operating out of like your mother. I was still operating out of this old, outdated paradigm that I wasn't capable. So I couldn't hold it. I couldn't hold the next level of success because I hadn't completely dissolved the habit. It was just a habit. It wasn't even a belief at the time. It was a habit of not allowing myself to be successful. And that's what we don't recognize too, is that a lot of times these beliefs are gone. We don't believe them. It's not our paradigm, but we've created the habit and it still lingers, and the habit creates the actions. And then, so when you get that momentum and you bump up against that success, and now I'm having to jump to the next level because now this is really going to expand me. The habit is no, the habit is contract. And so instead of expansion, which is not a habit, contraction is, you lean into what you're used to, which is contraction. And then you repeat that cycle over and over, and then you butt up against it again, and then you butt up against it again, and then you butt up against it again until next time you really realize it and you just bust through it. But it is with questioning, it is with awareness, and it is with action and making it very tangible and flexible in your daily life.
Can you take us through a few more examples of fear of success? How does it feel? How does it look like? You just shortly mentioned that you started finding excuses why you should pull back because it was getting too much. Is there anything else, tangible?
One really big thing is, especially for women, fear of success comes with how will I be able to maintain this? How will I maintain my relationships? What will my partner think? Will my partner, will my success actually hinder my partner's ability to feel like the lead? That's a huge one too in life. Because it also is mirrored, and there are things that we will find those examples in our life. Will I be able to maintain if you have a family? Will I be able to maintain my family? Will I be able to maintain even caring for myself if you're single? Will I be able to maintain the lifestyle that I have? Will I be too exposed and people, can it be stripped away? But what if I get all this success and then it gets taken away? Like that's terrifying for people too.
So
What if I can't sustain it?
as in they, if it's taken away, let's say sometimes we cannot foresee economical crisis and whatever happens. So people are afraid not to be able to repeat success again. So it is
Yes.
it's a one time lucky moment that I've had and I need to hold on to it against all odds. So I'm not sure if I can repeat it again.
Yeah, exactly. And then also a lot of people do think it's a fluke, like you just said, a one time. Like, and sometimes people don't even attribute that success to themselves. They attribute it to something outside of them. And so then they're like, I can't repeat this. Like I can't hold this because now the next level is going to require something of me. And I don't even know how I got here. Like it wasn't even by my own doing. And so we create these stories and we create this separation from actual success in our life. And so that's another big thing too, is like, we don't actually allow ourselves to feel the success and like take credit for it. We we offset it to somebody else. We say, oh, this was just happenstance, or it was luck, or I just whatever, instead of just fully owning it. And if you're not fully owning it, then you can't replicate it. But I always tell people, if you've been successful once, it's not going away. It's in you. You already know what it takes. We just are going to replicate it over and over and over and over.
How do we own success? Because I recently had a story where I closed a deal that was, I would say for me, a given, obvious. It was meant to be. I knew it at all times. It was just a question, when is the contract going to be signed? It happened. I felt pretty much, I had a moment of excitement. We had at that moment when this email came in, friends around in the evening, and we cheered to the success, and that was it for me. My partner, however, the next day said, like, aren't you happy? Like, shouldn't we celebrate? I'm like, you know what? No, it is this, like, the way this went should be my daily. And I did not see the point of celebrating because let's be real. Let's say this becomes my daily and I have to celebrate every time with a bottle of wine, I'll become an alcoholic. That will be a huge issue.
Yes.
Yeah. So, how do we own success? How do we own it in order? Because I hear often celebrate it, put it on your success tag, do whatever we are meant to be doing. But I think it is internal. It is something else. It is not doing something, but it is a feeling. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you are spot on. So, how you actually embrace and celebrate success is exactly what you did, which was embody it. Oh, this is my standard. Like this, it's my standard. Like, why would I celebrate a success when I am success, when my life is successful? Like every, yes.
Why would I celebrate success if I am success? I had a goosebump moment. I just needed to repeat this for everybody to hear this. Like, why do I need to celebrate success if I am success? That's embodiment.
Yes, it's embodiment, and it's just your standard. It's just your normal. And that, so that immediately when it comes in, it's like, yeah, I did that. Of course I did. And then we move on from it. It's very neutral. That's what a lot of people don't recognize, is that we also, when we do this deep work, our life becomes very neutral, and not in like a mundane sense, but in like a very like, this texture of like just goodness, where it's just neutral. Nothing's neither like the highlights and the lows. They're just there, and you just ride that wave wherever it's at without attaching too much to it, because you just know that it's created from within and it's always ever present. And so there's no need for these big celebrations unless it just feels good, right? Unless you just want to, But like I've had coaches in the past tell me like, oh, that's a great closing. Oh, that's your biggest month. Pour your favorite drink in your favorite glass and celebrate. And I'm like, why? Like, I romanticize my life all the time. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm in love with my life because I'm living success. I'm living my own luxury. And luxury is also an individual thing. Like, I have no desire for designer bags, but I have a deep desire for experience and travel and, oh my gosh, taking my
Food,
family to
it's
Hey,
funny.
food, yes,
Wow.
drinks. Like, I like coffee drinks, like, it's just different things. Like, my luxury every day is just getting the coffee that I want. Like, it's just, that's luxury to me. It's just choice. I have choice. And so when we step into that, that's our celebration of life. Our celebration, the way that you can celebrate your successes, sometimes at the very beginning, when you're just starting to feel those success, I will say, allow yourself to feel them. Allow yourself to really be embodied in it and own it. And you say, I did that. So if you start too early to be a little neutral about it, it may feel a little passive. So you can still be neutral about it by saying, I did that. I closed that sale, and I'm going to close another one. And I'm going to close another one, and I'm going to close another one. And it's my normal. It's my new normal. And so I'm embodying that. I'm becoming the person that does this daily. And that's how you really celebrate yourself and can tell yourself that you are successful and then experience it.
Now, something has come up as you mentioned this is my new normal. And you really feel it like within what I did, most definitely. But if you express this to the outer world, I mean, it's my in front of my partner, like we are having these conversations about success and money quite often. We started with this 2 years ago because we noticed that there is a conflict between me being a high achiever and he not being as ambitious as I am. He likes his safety net, though he's doing an incredibly great job as a manager and leader. But he always telling me, I would never do what you do. I think it's ridiculous that you do all day, every day. And for me, it's my normal. But when we had this, and we also agreed that I may retire him with 40. It's okay. Like he will be fine with that. So we don't have those conflicts anymore of provider and who brings me the money. It just doesn't matter because we both love travel. I love food. He likes more adventures. But when I mentioned to him that, like, okay, like I'm not even overly excited, like I'm grateful for that deal back then, there was a sense in me of, and it was my partner, and I think that's why it wasn't so extreme. But if I would have expressed it the way I did, or the way what I really felt to somebody else, and I mean anybody else, friends, anybody who does not understand the topic we are in today, I would have been afraid. Let me phrase it like this: I would have been afraid to be perceived as cocky. Like, oh, of course she can, of course she's successful. Where does this come from?
Well, it's always a really good one because people are so worried about what other people think about them, and we don't want to be perceived, like you said, as cocky. And the hard truth is that people may think that you are. People may think that you're cocky. They may think that you're a bitch. They may think that you're all of these different things. It's irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant because they don't understand. They're not you. Somebody else's perception of you is none of your business. We've heard that before. But it's not your responsibility. It's not your responsibility what somebody else thinks about you because they can only think about you through their limited lens. And so they're looking at you and your celebration or your lack of celebration through their money beliefs and their limitations and their perspective on money, and it's probably not that great. And so, like, you can't take responsibility for that. You can only take responsibility for how you feel and what that brings up in you and what that's like. And so when we think, oh, well, I don't want to be like this because someone might think I'm cocky, it's like, well, okay. Like, am I being cocky? Am I saying something to make somebody else feel bad? Like, am I trying to elevate myself by pushing them down? If that answer is yes, then yeah, you're kind of being a jerk and you might want to evaluate that behavior. But if it's not, if it's just natural and it's just authentic to you, then you can't change how somebody else perceives that, and not your responsibility to do so. Just act as if you are.
Makes total sense for me. I think there is, if we now bring together success and wealth, and as you mentioned, the freedom we want to live, it is also hard to actually embody it. And embodiment also goes on the outside, it's just on the inside, but it's also like, who am I when I am with my family, when I'm with my friends, when I'm, getting myself into new environments and the external part. Or the external noise, so to say, or the beliefs of other people that have an influence on our behavior, what we think about ourselves, is actually can or can be a limiting factor to how successful we become in the end. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. If you allow their beliefs and their thoughts and their boxes to become yours, that's it. Like, our only limitation is ourselves. Only it, that's it. We are the ones that limit ourselves. Like I said at the beginning, that like I put myself in a tighter box than anyone ever could have. Right. So I can use my environment to see the examples, and then I can say, oh, but I'm going to make that box a little smaller. Like, nobody's putting me in the box. I'm willingly walking into it. And that's what we have to recognize. Nobody's holding you down. Nobody is constricting you. You're the only one constricting yourself. So even if everyone around you doesn't believe in you, they don't think you're capable, they have a shitty relationship with wealth and money, they don't even know what success is, they don't even understand your ambition. If everyone around you, if you understand all those things about yourself, there's no stopping you. It's when you start to believe and identify and attach to their beliefs and make them your own. that you put yourself in that box. That's it. Your only limit is you. And that is something that you have to 100% own. It's personal responsibility, it's radical responsibility. And you're the one that creates your life. We can't blame anyone else. You can't blame our parents and their money habits and the way that we grew up. You can't blame your spouse and their money habits and the way that they are. You can't blame your circumstances. You can say, I can take ownership for this and I can make the changes that I can make. And I can believe what I believe, and I can take the actions that are aligned with my version of wealth and success.
Absolutely. When I have random conversations all over the world, when people are speaking to me about their dreams, and I would like to do that and this, it is always a level of wealth or financial wealth, and success is involved because it's always bound to good intentions. Either people want to give back philanthropically, they want to save their families, they want to create generational wealth. There is always an intention that comes actually rather not from making a ton of money, but it comes from an intention of love and integrity and support. Why is money or being rich perceived as evil? Because this is the next step that I didn't hear, like, why don't you do it? Yeah, I can't, and what people are gonna think of me when I'm rich, and rich people are bad. Where did we pick this up?
Yeah,
Your opinion.
I think that I think if we go way back in time, when we look at kind of where we originated from, and the wealthy families were the ones that had power. And so wealth was very much attached to power, and that power was also making decisions for the people in their community. And sometimes that wasn't always perceived as a good thing. And so I think that we can go way back into like lineage and development over time. I mean, like hundreds and hundreds of years ago, where this could have been like the origination of wealth and power is bad because it was suppressing, right? You had people that, you know how what I'm talking about, kings, queens, and the peasants times.
I
And then
think it
that just
even
gets
bleeds
ingrained.
now into our
Yes.
times that
Correct.
that power and wealth is not distributed over the world, but it's actually on in our hierarchy on top, and the white man is the rich man.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yes. And so then we then well, if that's our belief, if that's our conditioning, if that's our cultural conditioning over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, what are we going to do right now? Well, right now we're going to look for proof. We're going to look for proof in our society, and then we'll find it. Instead of looking for proof in our society that that's actually there's other options, instead of looking for proof that, oh, we can have that too. Oh no, like we can actually have that too. We don't look for that proof, right? So then we stay stuck in these paradigms that, wealth and power equals bad, instead of looking all around at that people who are incredibly wealthy and they are incredibly impacting our world in a beneficial way. Like we don't look for that proof. We look for the proof that narrates us staying down because that's what we believe. Because then guess what? If we believe that we're capable of like limitless wealth, if we believe we're really capable of that and we don't get it, it hurts. And so if you just stay stuck in the paradigm of it's not meant for me, it doesn't really hurt. There's no act, there's no letdown, there's no rejection. And so I think that we stay in these cultures because if you want it truly, honestly, anyone who wants to create limitless wealth, you have to take action. And action is hard and it's difficult. And you have to break your own beliefs. You have to break your own conditioning. You have to break your own paradigms, and you have to do things differently. And you have to take radical ownership for your life and responsibility. And that's uncomfortable. People don't want to do that. People want to blame other people. People want to blame circumstances. They want to blame their upbringing. They don't want to take radical responsibility. And so it stays a lot easier to stay in those boxes that were perceivingly built for us when we actually built them for ourselves.
You're absolutely right. If we look at traditional media, it's always what we find there, how wealth and power is put out there. First of all, it's easy to find. It plays into our negative bias, so we just see it, we take it in as it is, and there's no action being taken. Where else is, if you speak about radical action and looking for proof of other examples, we will need to dig deeper and consciously look for it, because it is in our society just not not yet, and I hope this is going to change in the future, not represented enough.
Absolutely. It's not good for business, right? So it's not, if you're talking about the news, it's not good for business to everything be all light and airy. Like, that doesn't draw us in as much. And so you also have to remember that you get to create your thoughts and your beliefs and your actions, and you get to look at the world around you, and you get to observe it through your lens, through your perspective, and you can take that on, and you can build your success, identity and your wealth identity, and you can shift an identity just because you've always been a certain way. The work that I do is actually in shifting identity. It's helping people live a different life than they have identified with before. And you can change any identity that you've had about yourself, because it's always just built on beliefs. Even the next identity is built on beliefs, but like, it can be a more preferable one. That's what I always say. Let's just move into the most preferable life of your dreams. Why not? Why not live the game that way? So it's always about you just looking at the world around you, taking what fits for you and what doesn't, and shifting that identity so you can live in success and freedom and wealth and abundance. And things are just limitless. It's always expansion.
It's always expansion. I like that because it's never just one identity shift. Because as we grow in our success and grow our wealth and grow our freedom, there will always be a next level success. And it's always the same work, the same patterns to break, correct? In order to get to next level. So, what is the distinction between those who are absolutely limitless, who make money effortlessly, who you just see them and it feels like, oh my God, like why can't she do this and why can't I do this? What is the main distinction, the huge difference between those two?
So the biggest difference is, like, when you're like, oh my gosh, they're making it. And so people who are successful and people who aren't, is the people who are successful just never stopped. So they didn't make a failure mean something about them. It is not that they didn't fail. It doesn't mean that they didn't have a complication. They didn't make it mean something about them. They didn't make it mean a part of their identity. It was just an obstacle. It was just something that they overcame and moved through, and it didn't become their identity. So people who are still trapped in, like, not feeling that success, they're making things mean something about them. They're stopping. That's the only difference, is people at the top, they just don't stop. They believe that they can. They have enough belief in themselves to know they can move through. There's going to be a new opportunity, and they're going to go get it. The people who aren't, they don't believe that they can, and they made a failure mean something about them that was never meant to mean something about them, and it stopped them.
I think this is also where mentorship comes in place to actually not stop. I just had a thought of back then in school when we failed an exam and had a bad grade, there was no such a thing like stopping. You needed to go to next level class, like next year you need to make it. So there were parents, teachers, helpers to help you repeat that exam and actually succeed, and you moved on. So there was no question whether I'm going to go to this exam or not. And as we grow up and we build our own lives, our futures, that one life you have, just that one and only, we play small and we'll be like, I failed, I don't try again. It's actually ridiculous if you think about it. Where in school, it did not matter because your grades, like honestly, nobody asked me what I did in primary school today and what grades I had, but it was so natural to cry it out, to be desperate, to be sad, but I go for this exam again, send it to university. And then when it comes to your own life, you'll be like, didn't work. Maybe I'm not meant for this. Wow. It's huge. It is huge. And if you now take this in, it is actually something we need to change. There is no question, because we've got one life, we've got one dream, and I have seen so many people putting their dreams on their shelf and forgetting about it because there is so many limitations. And I think even if it takes to leave the place where you are, to leave your hometown, to leave the city, to change your circle, whatever that means for you, it's not a shame, it's expansion.
Yes, it is.
Kyla, I would like to ask you, if you look at your future, where or how would you like to spend your old years?
Oh yes. Well, I have four kids, and I have four kids and a husband, and so we think about our future all the time. And I don't have a specific space. I just want that freedom. I want the freedom to be where my kids are, to help and be involved in their lives, but also not like overly involved. I just want to be able to like pop in when it feels right, and then also just travel. We just want to be on the road. We just want to go from place to place. That's kind of how we see our future, is this very expanded, like just free, whatever feels right for us that day, that's what we want to do. Like that is how we see our life. And we actually get to experience that today in our lifetime, because we've worked on that. And that is something that we have, a very free life. Today, if we want to jump in the car and take our kids somewhere in the middle of the week and, go somewhere and stay for 3, 4 nights, we do. Like that's the life we've created. And so we already get to taste that, but it'll kind of be nice just to do it with the two of us too.
I think it's beautiful, and I think your four children will take you definitely around the globe because you're teaching them, and they will have their children, so your grandchildren, so you buckle up for travel, I would say.
Yes, that's what's the plan. We're like planting the seed. You guys travel, you guys live wherever you want, and then like we're like drop these like our favorite places. If it's here, that's great too. So we can always be going to our favorite places.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely dreamy, and some might say like, "Oh my God, what a dreamer she is," but it can be your reality, friend. So, friends, if you like these conversations, let us know. Leave us a comment on Spotify, a review on Apple Podcast. Reach out to us. We are super approachable. If you have any questions, if you want to discuss this topic any further, let us know, because only if we know that you like it, that you need it, and that you are taking away anything good from these conversations, we can create more of this. And before we round up, I would like to know, Kyla, where people can find you. What is the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I hang out on Instagram. So it's just Kayla Birch on Instagram if you want to find me there. And then my website is just www.kaylabirch.com. And so you can find all the different ways to reach me, get in contact with me, some different offers, some freebies that I have in there. So you can kind of go deeper into some of the methods. I didn't even talk about my actual method to work through this, which is the TRM method. So you'll find that there, and so many different opportunities over there.
Excellent. All links will be for you, easy accessible in the show notes. Go click, expand, grow, because you've got only one life, and everything you need to succeed is already within you. Thank you so much, Kyla, for being this incredible guest and bringing in so much value and so much new knowledge for us to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.